All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Halloween Corner. We are finishing Sound of Drop today. I mean, I'm going to read it solo on my own to finish up the last couple paths, but we are going to finish the main route. And if you like what you've seen, which has been okay, I mean, there's been some decent paths. It's not my favorite horror novel, but it's pretty decent. There's some good stuff in it. You can pick it up pretty cheaply on Steam or GOG. You know, there's no sex scenes, so you don't have to worry about anything being taken out. But if you want it, go ahead. It doesn't have that many good reviews, but people do like it. So, I think it's like 223 good reviews and 53 bad reviews. So you can take that, you know, just take that as it is. But again, Sound of Drop should take you about 6 hours to get through. It's not that long. Metroid actually takes longer. Dread's been taking about 7 hours for most people. But Sound of Drop, yeah. If you want to get into it, play that. And I heard that Fatal 12 is boring as tears. It'll bore you to tears. That's what I meant to say. So we're going to attempt to get through that. But if it just gets to the point to where I can't handle it anymore, I'm going right to Root Double. And guys, when I get into Root Double, that is post-Infinity Saga stuff. So I'm probably going to be hardcore in that. Like, I will be possibly doing all that live. I don't know. Maybe at least one route, but I will definitely jump in because I love those games. And that stuff will not be, you know, adult-oriented. But I will continue to post them, you know, as I'm doing that one and AI the Somnium files and stuff like that. If I choose to do that kind of stuff here, I will. I mean, that would change the whole idea of the channel. It won't necessarily be a hentai corner. There would still be hentai here. But there will be actual hardcore story visual novels as well. So we'll see. We'll see what people think of that. I like the fact that Closed Game got a lot of hits. And we're doing more Closed Game because, yeah, that one... pretty awesome. Of course, I can't play that on YouTube and BitChute anymore, so I don't know. I guess MGTOW.TV, you guys get all the grape. Which, I mean, I'd love to just put an 18 counter on YouTube and be like, fuck it, but I don't know. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started, so I'm not doing this all night. I do want to play Dread at some point, you know. All right. Alright, remember last time we jumped in. This time we're gonna stop. The tests haven't gone well. It still isn't a guarantee that I can get back to Manton Aquarium where phenomena are happening. Even if I succeed, I'll be... succeed... There I go with succeed again. Even if I succeed, I'll be separated from Himeno. But I'll definitely get home, I mutter to myself. It's strange since it's as if I'm talking to the entrance gate, but it's a declaration of my resolve. As I move forward, I spot the souvenir shop. It makes sense as I'm going back the way I came, but it gives me mixed feelings. Huh? It is there that I witness an unexpected sight. The girl from earlier is standing in front of the souvenir shop, apparently lost in thought. You. So the coordinates where the doorways lead has to be fixed by someone. Otherwise, there'd be no way you would have come across me being attacked by the orca in the machine room. I don't really get what the girl, who is reassuring herself, is saying, so I change the subject. What's wrong? Did something happen at the souvenir shop? Just now, it looked like someone went inside. Someone? I don't know. It was just as they went in, but thanks to whoever it was, the coordinates are fixed on a safe place. It could have been Mari. Your missing little sister, right? I'm sorry, but no, it was definitely an adult. I glance over at the entrance to the souvenir shop. Even as I peer through the semi-transparent wall, there are no human shadows. Still, if the person she saw walked through a door and moved to different coordinates, it wouldn't be strange for there to be no one in there. The girl said it was an adult. Could it have been? Could it be Yoshi-san? Yoshi, who's that? Someone who saved me when I was caught up in the dangers of Manton Aquarium. He went crazy in the staff passageway and I moved ahead on my own. After I explain as simply as possible what happened back then, the girl just nods and says, Well, he might have regained his sanity and found an exit, or he might be wandering around still crazy. Whichever it is, I think it's worth checking out. Yoshi-san seemed like he knew things about Matt and Aquarium. Well, why don't you go? I'll be waiting here. Huh? Aren't you coming with me? Hold on. Aren't you coming with me? Got all the way to my throat before I gulped it back down. Either way, if he's not here, we might not be able to go through the door and return to this safe place. Right, I don't know this Yoshi-san's face, so it's better for you to go. Come back in 5 minutes. If you don't, you'll leave me? Of course, the two of us both dying or getting hurt would just be stupid. They want me to save? You're mean. Don't expect me to take care of you. I'm making the best choice. Anyway, if you die in there, your friend dies too, so make sure to come back. You don't need to say that. I've already made up my mind to go. Well, I'll wait for you without worry. Without worry? Okay. Quietly, I opened the door to the souvenir shop. The door closes on its own. Not that I had even tried to leave it open. Thinking back on it, no matter what room I entered, the door always shut on its own. The lights aren't on, but I can still see where I'm going by the light shining through the semi-transparent wall. The only thing I can't see is the girl. The scenery visible from this room seems to reflect the time distortion affecting this room as well. The fact that I've become this used to these strange phenomena is a little weird, even to me. The souvenir shop hasn't changed that much from how I remember it. Numerous shelves are arranged so that the purpose of each is visible. There are some for confectionery, stationery, and stuffed animals. The keychains and cell phone straps are in a place that stands out. Since I can't find any calendars or magazines, I don't know how many years ago or from now this is. Inside the glass balls on the shelves are specimens of shrimp and jellyfish. Their price is high. Maybe this is the present. As one might expect, there is no sign of a shopkeeper. I walk the perimeter of this store in a semicircle. I study the room carefully but find nothing. There are so many things that catch my interest, but I can't seem to get interested in picking them up and looking them over closely. That crystal-like necklace, the steel stuffed animal. Right now, I have no interest in orca or jellyfish merchandise. Yeah, I'll bet. Now I know how a dog being made to wait for a treat feels. I should check over here as well. I go behind the cash register counter where I normally wouldn't be allowed to look. This is the staff's. It's what you would call a back room. There are boxes full of products, a safe, and even employee uniforms. It looks similar to the staff room where the girl and I saw the diary, only this room is more narrow. Inside the back room, I find a door. Since this is a place for bringing in merchandise, it makes sense that there would be a passageway connecting it to somewhere else. I reach out to see for myself, but it's locked. No good, huh? As I turn back, thinking that this has been fruitless, I find something. A lanyard with an ID card. It's been thrown on the ground, so I pick it up and take a look. I strain my eyes in the darkness. It bears the name Hiyoshi Kenji. This is Hiyoshi-san's. It's the same as the employee ID card that Hiyoshi-san had before we entered Manton Aquarium. There's no picture on it, so it's just words, but I remember it. The card is spotless. Unexpectedly, he's showing some propriety. So Hiyoshi-san has been here. Does that mean that the one girl saw that? Does that mean the one girl, the one the girl saw was him? Could it be that he headed for somewhere else from this room? But he was able to lock the door. When I entered the souvenir shop, he was already on his way out, and I only came after he'd locked the door. I just missed him. I don't think there's anything else important here. I'll go back and tell that girl. I say that just as I realize it's always been 5 minutes. I'm so glad this is a safe place. As if in reaction to the fact that I'm leaving, the sound of a dull thunk echoes. Kya! I let out a small scream. The sound is that of something falling. Even in the gloom, I can make out the outline of what fell. What? It's just a frog. Uh-oh. It's that boy. Now what? There shouldn't be frogs in the souvenir shop. The proof of its identity is a shiny exterior that doesn't belong to an ornament or a toy. It's a large toad. I think it's appropriately named Giant Toad. The reason I know about it is because of a TV show was talking about it recently. The story was about how in Australia the toad had been imported for pest control, but before they realized it, its population was increasing and was disrupting the ecosystem. There's a better look at that boy right there. There you go, guys. Characteristic of the species is a gland on the back of its head that looks like a wart, from which it seems they can eject venom. The venom was cited as the cause for alligators and other native species being killed. That's right, poison! With bad luck, I think, as I clench my fist, but it's only one. I put a little more space than necessary between us in order to avoid the giant toad. That way, even if there's another lurking nearby, I should be okay. The shell's become a wall for me. Even though frogs have the ability to jump, they shouldn't reach that height. It's really loud for being just one toad making a gwop sound rather than the normal quote croak. Gwop, gwop, gwop. Although it's poisonous, hearing its cry in a safe place like this makes me think of it as cute. Even though I think that, I can't be careless. A plopping sound resonates once more. The toad cries out, going from a death rattle-like sound to thin breathing, then finally a pause. It soon resumes with an even lower voice than before. What? I take a look at where the toad was. Ah! It's nothing less than ghastly. The toad has been crushed by another frog that has fallen from the ceiling. Damn! Its four legs are widespread, its internal organs leaking from its abdomen due to the fall. But that isn't all. The second frog is the white stripe pattern characteristic of a certain type, but I don't know its name. And the other frog fell on the giant toad and stimulated the gland, so naturally poison leaked out. At the edge of its right foot, its toes have begun melting. Melting? No way. The frog's poison is an acid. It paralyzes or acts as a neurotoxin. If it gets in your eyes, you can lose your eyesight, but basically it's for catching prey by poisoning it to death. This poison is different and more brutal. However, the second frog is even more menacing. As if taking vengeance for the right leg it lost to the poison, it secretes its own venom. The toad's corpse puts up no resistance, its body steadily melting away. I pinch my nose at the mixed stench of the dead body and the acid. Even as my spine grows cold, the room steadily becomes humid, most likely due to the breath of the living creatures in the room. The sight of the frog melting away from the poison is enough to cause the bile to rise up in me for a moment. But there's no way I can look away from it. Beyond the fact that I don't know what's going to happen next, I have to pay attention as I head for the exit. I look up at the ceiling, but there's no sign that I'm being followed by any frogs. It's as if they fell from nowhere. If one falls on me, it means this place isn't safe anymore. I speed up as I head for the exit. The reason I don't break into a full run is because I know I might trip or fall at a time like this. Plop, plop, plop. A nearby sound fills me with fear and despair. Frogs fall right in front of me. 3, 4, it becomes difficult to count them. Just as I panic and attempt to turn back, I hear noises from beyond me. Croak, croak. They begin to speak in unison. The frogs are actually singing it around, but I hate that they sound so joyful. Hearing the frogs' croaks on either side of me leaves me with nothing but fear. If I step on one of them, this poison will probably dissolve my foot. That being said, there isn't enough room to leap over them, and if I do, one of them may jump up and touch me. As if preparing to attack me while I'm off guard, their numbers increase even further. Crowded into such a small space, they are melting each other's bodies with their poison. I avert my eyes from the damaged frogs. As the danger increases, it's not a tragedy I can continue to watch. As the amount of bodily fluids on the floor increases, the frogs who step in the puddles of poison have their toes melted off. Then they secrete their own fluids and the cycle repeats. On top of that, there are those whose bodies are melted by their own poison as well. Somehow suppressing whatever is welling up inside me, I finalize my plan. Over here! I pull up some merchandise off the shelf with my hand and make some space. The original two are still left, but it's better than being surrounded. I step out onto the floor and leave the shelf to keep them from reproducing anymore. Quickly! No! Wow. As if they had been lying in wait, numerous frogs fall from every which way. They are small creatures with shrill voices, red, yellow, green, and striped and varied. The intense amount of color saturation is making me feel sick. I know this variety of frog well. Among poisonous frogs, it is the most infamous type. a poison dart frog. Even under normal circumstances, it carries deadly poison stronger than that used in blow darts. If the strength of the poison has been taken to intense levels like the other creatures here, it could probably instantaneously melt even my bones. What should I... There's still distance between the door and I. 3 steps. No matter what, I can't take those 3 steps. There's nowhere for my feet to land. The floor is covered in the squishy bodies of the frogs and their acidic poisonous fluids, as well as the corpses of those frogs that have melted themselves. Look at all these frogs, folks. Frogs everywhere. Not knowing where they're coming from, there's nothing I can do. Even the sweat falling from my forehead seems like venom to me. It's just some kind of illusion. Shh. I don't want to see it as nothing else can be done. But... You're slow. A light suddenly shines through the darkness. A soft breeze blowing in through the crack returns me to my senses. Cover your eyes. Immediately after saying this, the girl pulls the pin from the fire extinguisher she's holding. The entire inside of the souvenir shop is filled with the smoke from the fire extinguisher. A fire extinguisher, but now we can't jump over the frogs. I can see what's going on. This isn't all. Almost in sync with the girl's words, the sprinklers activate. A large amount of water immediately sprays us, an amount greater than the strongest rain striking my body. Gah! When I open my eyes, the girl reaches out her hand with a firm expression. While the water's running, even if you get hit with a little venom, it will wash right off. Don't be afraid, just run for it. If you fall, you'll die. The floor is soaked. I might slip. At that moment, I falter and... I can't. It's no laughing matter if I fall, so I'll go that way. Do you doubt me? Huh? You'll get that if you don't have time for... You get that you don't have time for that, right? The girl speaks in a cold voice and closes the door. As if recognizing my suddenly slowed heartbeat, the rain stops. The sprinklers have been turned off. What? No words will come out. Even as I come to understand my circumstances, I cannot say anything. Croak, croak, croak. Guak, guak, guak. Key, key, key. The frog's cannon continues. As they hop freely about, they spray liquid all over. Ah! Frightened, I kick the bright red frog at my feet into the air. He is crushed with a splat, his venom wetting the tips of my toes. Hot! I scream this word reflexively. Actually, ouch would probably fit better than hot. Shaking, I look down at my feet, my right big toenail slowly melting away. Ah! Spray from raising my foot so high scatters about, some of it getting in my left eye. My vision fades in sync with the intense pain. Croak, croak, croak. Guah, guah, guah. Key, key, key. The stench of acid grows stronger once more. I have to get to the door, and during the pain I take a step. I crush several frogs, leaving the sensation of slippery meat. The fluids that scatter about strike me around the knees. As I take my second step, I lose my balance. I can't balance on the leg that is melted, but it doesn't hurt. Why? I quickly get my answer, but my nerves have already been paralyzed. As long as I can't feel the pain, at least not the intense pain of my flesh melting. Ha ha! Ha ha ha! I laugh naturally. Even though my body's begun to deteriorate, I feel no agonizing pain. Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha! Ah, how strange. In my fading consciousness, I keep thinking that I should at least try to laugh. Got it. I have no time for doubt. I run for it through the rain from the sprinklers. Gah! I try to run without looking at my feet. The sensation of squishing the slippery meat continues. The liquid that gets scattered about with a squirting sound is washed off in the rain. Just 3 steps, that's a moment. Ah! Idiot. With one last step, I stumble. The girl grabs me with her extended hand and pulls me out. I collapse, but it's outside of the souvenir shop. The door is already closed. There are no frogs anywhere. Huff, ha, thank you, but it's already been more than 5 minutes, so why? As I catch my breath, I express my thanks to the girl. I just remembered that I owe you a debt. You are kind. I might have misjudged you a bit. You didn't misjudge me. If you had hesitated any further, I would have closed the door. But you believed in me, right? That I could do it. You're gonna drive me nuts, so stop it with that stuff. Expressionlessly, the girl says in a flat tone. Hold on. Expressionlessly, the girl says this in a flat tone. Holding on to this gentle feeling, I prepare to move on. Speaking honestly, I want to rest here like this. My clothes are soaked and I've used up a lot of my strength. However, it feels like if I were to really relax, I might never get up again. If I don't keep my momentum, I can't save Himeno. I'm able to gain some relief from resting against the wall. The girl who rescued me seems to be resting just like I am. Huh, this gotcha-gotcha is... As we are resting against the wall, I realize that the type of gotcha-gotcha situated in front of me in the front of the souvenir shop has changed. How ironic. 5 years ago. What do you mean? You said it yourself that your sister went missing 5 years ago. You remembered. Of course. Inside the gotcha-gotcha machines, there are many keychains. They all have charms with various creatures attached to the droplets. The link between Mari and I, and now the item in my memories that links Himeno and I as well. My little sister, her name is Mari. I didn't ask. You see, 5 years ago we had an argument over keychains. Mari wanted my jellyfish one, but I wouldn't trade with her. She disappeared, sulking. Still didn't ask. I have this one. I take the keychain that I received from Himeno out of my pocket. It's the one with the starfish attached to the droplet. Huh? As I hold it out to the girl, I realize there's something attached to the back. A picture printed on a sticker. It's a pretty old sticker at that. A small girl and a man embracing her. The two of them are smiling and seem to be having a lot of fun. The man who is wearing a suit and seems quite serious is probably her father. The words Man Aquarium run along the picture's border. The souvenir shop had a sticker photo booth, so I'm sure they took this picture here. More than anything else, I'm disturbed by the fact that the girl in the picture looks like Mari. It's not just her face, but her long hair and that smile, too. As her big sister, this girl seems like she could be Mari's twin. Hey, that's... Pointing to the keychain, the girl speaks. My consciousness is yanked back from my memories. What is it? I ask the girl as she shows interest in the keychain, but I receive no response. Her averted eyes tell me nothing. Your little sister, she went missing here, right? Huh? Yeah. The girl suddenly changes the subject back, leaving me a bit flustered. She doesn't press any further with questions. It's the same with my dad. Huh? But in my case, I know he's dead rather than missing, so it's different. I know he was murdered. Your father was murdered? I can't grasp the detached way the girl is speaking. She's talking about her own family member, but the girl is completely apathetic. She has to calm as someone reading a newspaper article aloud. Well, I'm going now. Ah, but... I haven't heard all the girl's story yet, and if things get like they were before, it will be better if there are two of us. The words won't come out right, but the state of panic I'm in should be enough to express what I want to say. However, the girl stands her ground to the end. When I'm with you, you hold me back. Hold you back? What do you mean? If dying is what it takes for me to learn the truth, then that's fine. You can never resolve yourself to that. Fine. With dying? You can't let yourself die. Shut up. Just shut up. You're awful. You have that friend Himeno, right? If you die, what happens to her? I have no idea whether or not this is her way of trying to encourage me. However, I understand what she's trying to say. She's trying to say that each of us is on our own. Let's become friends. That way you can't say so easily that you're fine with dying, right? That part of you is exactly what I meant when I said you hold me back. Without answering my question, the girl pushes me away. Swiftly turning her back on me, the girl walks on ahead. What should I have done? I stay where I am until the girl's back becomes so small I can no longer see it. I pass in front of the souvenir shop, then end up standing in front of the door to the jellyfish booth. I wonder if the girl is already gone. If she ended up in a safe place, she's probably already passed through it. If nothing happens, it takes less than a minute to pass through the jellyfish booth. If by any chance she is still there, we'll surely just meet in passing. The girl's determined to take a different path than I. I wonder, what would happen to me? I may return to a point before the tank glass ruptured, or I may end up in the jellyfish booth sometime after the tank glass ruptured. I'll never know if I don't try going in. I become cautious. Slowly, I open the door. Huh? At that moment, the air becomes shaky. What is this? It's different. The field of view before me becomes red, and the air becomes so cold it could freeze. This is no longer a matter of dimensions of wondering what time period this is. Something is different. The jellyfish booth is distinctly a different place from the aquarium. Distinctly in a different place from the aquarium. All the water in the tanks, it's red. In the jellyfish booth I know, the transparent jellyfish are illuminated by various colors of lighting. The reds and purples are usually a pretty sight, but this place is different. All the pillar-shaped tanks are bright red. It's a repulsive sight, as if all the water has been replaced with blood. I have to go. A bit confused, I take a step forward. Despite the fact that the floor at my feet should be solid, I stagger. My sense of equilibrium is off. I proceed one, then two steps. At that point, I start to feel like I might fall. Even so, I head further inside. If I can pass through another door, I should be able to escape this bizarre phenomena. No matter what, I have to hurry. Ah! Suddenly I stumble and place my hand on a pillar tank. The temperature of the tank is slightly warmer than that of the cold air. Huh? Just as I'm about to move forward, using the tank to support myself, I peer into the red water. Where there should be jellyfish floating around, there is something completely different. No! I'm unable to stop the scream that bursts from my mouth. An unbelievable sight stops me in my tracks. A face! A face! Kia! Human faces float about. Whatever's below the neck appears as if it's been assimilated into the blood, blending in with the contents of the tank. It isn't just one of them, just the previous jellyfish booth. There are more and more and more. I wobble and break away from the tank, landing on my backside. I don't know whose face it is. It's not as if I would be if it would be someone I know. But no matter which face it is, they all seem to be staring at me, here in the heart of the jellyfish booth. Taking a step back, I see that all of the tanks have human faces floating inside them. They have some differences, such as some faces being blank, some have their eyes bulging open, and some have bloodshot eyes, but they are all looking at me. What is this? That face over there's nose is twitching. The face's lips are trembling, and way over there, that one has a crease in its brow. Ba-dum-dum. My heart beats faster. Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. In a rhythm with my heartbeat, I experience hallucination that the faces and the tanks are drawing closer. No, this is... Let's get a good look at the face there. No, it isn't hallucination. I'm certain that all these faces are getting closer to me. The fact that they're getting larger serves as proof. The boundary between the tanks and the air is gradually being removed. The room is becoming all water. The faces are swimming in that water, drawing closer to me. As the faces draw closer, the sound within the water grows louder. Rather than someone's laughing voice, it's the sound of someone sobbing that grows louder instead. Either way is the same to me, wearing away at my mental state. Ha 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 ha. Stop it! A voice unfamiliar to me is sneering at me. Little by little, these unfamiliar faces are closing in on me. Before I realize it, my feet can no longer confirm whether the floor is there or not. I have to go! So I put all my strength into my knees. I've already learned that time is of the essence. I have to take some sort of action. Should I use force? Should I steady myself to move easier? If the distance is the issue, then the way I came is just a bit closer. At any rate, I should pull back and get into a good position. I should open and close the door numerous times in order to create a safer environment. My feet unsteady, I swiftly dodge and retrace my steps. One step at a time, feeling as if I'm walking on bubbles, I inch with certainty closer to the door. All right. Finally, I succeed in reaching for the door. Just like this, I throw open the door right away. Huh? At that moment, I'm swallowed up in darkness. What is darkness and water? At any rate, there's definitely no light. Plop! Something touches my back with a wet sensation. Before long, it spreads through my body. What? Without thinking, I spin around. Before me are a large number of fish. They say that fish with human faces swim about. I'm reminded of Himeno's words. That's right, human-faced fish. Just like the faces I saw at the jellyfish booth, these are attached to the fish approaching me. I'm an idiot. If I go through the door, the time axis will change. If I do that, the way I came also changes. I have no idea whether or not it will be safe. Regardless, to avoid the immediate terror, I vigorously leap forward. The fish are biting off my clothes. They're fish! Yes, fish. No matter how much their white teeth are like humans, and no matter how much their teeth are arranged like humans, they're all fish. So it'll be fine. Before I realize that the clothes enveloping me are disappearing. Blood leaks from the places I've been bitten by those large teeth. Look, red water. The blood flowing from my body mixes with the red ocean. And then they become one. Me and this bright red world. Okay. My resolution can no longer be shaken. Even if I go back, I don't know if it would be safe. In that case, I'll have to choose to wave with even a small chance. Unable to tell whether I'm floating or standing, I frantically move my arms and legs. The faces are closing in, but even as I look up, I'm not afraid. Persuading myself, I move forward a bit. Even if there's no feeling left in my legs, I get the feeling that I actually am drawn closer to the door. Just a little more. Suddenly, a loud sound interrupts my movements. That sound is familiar to me. The sound I've heard in this jellyfish booth before. The sound of the glass breaking resonates from behind me. Still, I won't give up. I refuse to turn around. If I were to see something bad right now, this time my heart may really break. In that case, it may be better for me not to know. On the heels of that thought, various voices all laughing and crying began to resonate behind me. They're probably the voices of those faces floating in the blood. The voices steadily draw near, finally closing in on me. Fish with human faces! They say that fish with human faces swim about. It reminds me of an urban legend Himeno talked about. However, I don't have time to be in shock over a rumor being true. I won't falter! Human faces and shards of glass are passing by the edge of my field of vision. Occasionally they touch my cheek or forehead, but I move forward. I drift as I move along, grabbing the door with a clack. I encourage myself out loud so I don't lose focus. I have no idea what lies ahead. Gah! Almost at the same time as I pull on the door, I begin to feel heavy pressure against my back. It's heavy! Why? I can guess what has happened. Surely the fish are stopping me from moving on. This feeling of having my clothes pulled on is proof of that. I never thought fish could be this strong. I'm going, so I bite down on my lip and try to move forward. The harder I try to move forward, the stronger the fish's resistance becomes. Himeno is suffering even more. I shut my eyes and grind my back molars, then hurl myself at the door. The door flies open and I fall to the ground. Even so, I muster up my strength and shut the door. There's no longer any pressure against my back. Huh? Beyond the door is not a fish of the world booth. It's dark and narrow, similar to the staff passageway I passed through before. Turning about and looking round, I realize that this is a passageway after all. So the jellyfish booth had at least three doors. The one I initially came in through, the one that leads to the entrance, and this door that connects to the staff-only passage. And with that, I'm going to take a, I guess, short break. And we'll get back to this one a little later.